People are people, and we have emotions, and we have feelings, and we have wants, and we have needs. And so I think when we can look at it from that picture and not get so stuck on, he's a creative, he's not a creative, so I'm going to lead him differently than him. It's more of just like, let me lead people the way that God wired them for who they are.
Everyone, welcome back to the Church Circle podcast, the podcast that celebrates church creatives. And this is episode 3. We've had some amazing guests so far, Brady and Ron. And I thought we needed some women in the room. We needed some women's voices. And I couldn't think of anyone better than to share their insight into the church, into leadership, and into building a creative team than Sally Guillory, who is currently in California. But you may have known her, if you do know her, from being in Louisiana at various points or New York. She's kind of a bit of a Mrs. Worldwide. So, Sally, how are you?
I am doing good, Ruben. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic, thank you. It's Friday
here. Thanks for having me.
So, Sally, why don't you just kind of, for people that don't know you, why don't you just share a little bit about who you are and kind of a bit about your story? Because I like I said before, you Louisiana, and then New York, and then California. So there's obviously there's something that's going on in your life to be moving around so much.
Maybe I'm just crazy. I don't know. Well, thanks for having me, Ruben. I grew up in Louisiana my whole life, born and raised there, and went to school there, and kind of got into, when I graduated high school, got into coaching basketball. And so kind of started coaching at some local schools. Then I changed my major in college, and I wanted to be a basketball coach and a teacher. Thought I was going to do that for a long, long time. And I'm sure, like a lot of people, God had some different plans along the way. But ended up coaching college basketball for a few years as well at a couple of universities in Louisiana, McNeese State and then University of Louisiana. And loved it. It was great. Had fun. And so growing up, we grew up like in the Episcopal Church, Catholic Church. So I kind of knew God, knew Jesus, but I wouldn't say I had a relationship with him. So kind of in my college years, just by the grace of God, was connected with some people who really shared their faith with me and kind of brought me on a discipleship journey. And the Lord started doing some things in my life. But that was even before ministry stuff, but really just was on a trajectory coaching college basketball. We had some success. Kind of as we get into this, you'll probably see a theme of my life. There's been, took over some programs that weren't as successful before, losing records, things like that. And then kind of had an opportunity to come in and do some change management, I guess you could call it. And so did that for a few years. My family, I loved being in Louisiana. My family was there. They got to be a part of all of that. And then once I really kind of got to know the Lord and got into ministry, we can talk some more about that later. But, in 2020, one of our pastors at our church in Louisiana, he got a call to go be the senior pastor at Times Square Church in New York City. And, 2020 was quite the year for change and things going on around the world, especially in New York City. And, I really just felt like the Lord was kind of putting something, stirring something in my heart to go with him. And so I went to him and his family and said, "Hey, this is crazy, but I feel like, God is asking me to join you guys in New York City." And he pulled out a notebook and says, "I've been praying for that. The Lord spoke to me about it too." So, just kind of, it was such a God story how I ended up there from small town in Louisiana to New York City, and had an opportunity to be a part of Times Square Church there. Loved it. Some great people, learned so much. And then the pastor had asked me to go there for, and said, "Hey, give me a 2-year commitment." Did that. And kind of towards the end of the 2 years, stayed a little bit longer, but, ended up, doing some kind of stepping aside from church staff, but doing some coaching and consulting with some different churches and ministries. And I loved it. But I really felt like something was missing. I wanted to get back into the local church and really kind of get involved in a team and be a part of a church like that. And so, through some different conversations and relationships, someone introduced me to Saddleback, and they were looking for a director of communications, and some different conversations. We started talking, and I really, really was excited about the direction that they were going. I came visit out here early 2023 and had an opportunity to visit with some of the leaders and pastors and hear Andy and Stacy's vision for where we were going in Saddleback. And both of us were kind of praying through it and felt like this was the Lord. And so moved out here in March of 2023. So it'll be 1 year here at Saddleback next month, or this month. I'm sure this is when the podcast is airing. So yeah, it's been quite a story, a journey.
Yeah, it's incredible. And we'll kind of get into that, into how you ended up being in church communications in a second. But Sally, yeah. I think Coach Sally is such a great way of defining who you are. So for some context, me and Sally have worked together for 3 years now, just over 3 years. We got connected at Times Square Church, and Sally's been a great, not only client, but friend, and also just someone who does encourage and does champion, and champions not just me, but lots of other creatives as well, and is a real coach. And I can see the basketball kind of DNA running through into your leadership as well. So it's... I actually didn't know that about the basketball thing. So now it's all starting to make more sense. So yeah. Coach Sally, so that's super interesting. And maybe we'll come back to that in a second, but how do you go from basketball and coaching? And you said you've been on this journey with God and he started drawing you into this stuff, but like, what were the practicals of that? Like, how did you know, like, I want to go from sports to communications?
Yeah. You know, Ruben, the things of God only make sense in reverse sometimes, right? Sure. So the journey did not make sense at the time. It was 2013, 2014. I was at the peak of my coaching career. Our team was having tons of success, went to the postseason for the first time, won a college basketball postseason game for the first time at their university. And I just didn't feel like I was doing exactly what God made me to do. And when I first started coaching, I felt like this is what I'm supposed to do. I think it's Frederick Buechner who says that purpose is when the world's needs and our passions come together. And so when I was coaching, I felt that at the beginning, but towards the end, felt like something was stirring up inside of me, didn't know what it was. And so just was processing with my pastors, some mentors that I really, really, learned from and value their wisdom. And I kind of through the culmination of this, I felt like I was supposed to step into full-time ministry, had no idea what that looked like. And so just kind of fast forward through all that processing and that process, I'm skipping through the processing. The processing was a long time and a huge time, but the end of it was I was going to go to the University of Virginia and be a chaplain for the FCA full time, lead all of their women's sports, and kind of just some more processing with my pastor. He came back to me and said, "Hey, you know, we really feel like you were called here and we'd love if you did this athletic ministry thing here at our church." And so, not knowing anything, just kind of like, okay, well, this sounds good. I trusted my pastor and there's something there with spiritual authority, spiritual wisdom. Mm-hmm. And so glad that I listened to him, because stepped into that. And then shortly thereafter, our youth pastor at our church left. And so he asked me and the other guy who was kind of doing the athletic ministry to step into youth pastoring. And neither one of us had ever worked in ministry. The guy I was doing this with, he played in the NFL. He had won a Super Bowl with the Saints. I was a college basketball coach, and here we are as the youth pastors at the church. And then 6 months later, our college pastor left. So here comes Pastor Jacob again. Hey, what if you guys step into college ministry? And so just continuously saying yes to things that I wasn't equipped for, I wasn't qualified for. But when someone saw something in me, it gave me a confidence that, like, okay, if they're seeing this in me and God is with me, then I can do this. And church communications is the same thing. A few years after doing all of that, our pastor came back to me and said, "Hey, we need our creative pastor just left. We'd love for you to step into this role leading, you know," and it was much more than just communications, production and creative and all these other things. And I looked at him like, "Are you crazy? Like, I'm a college basketball coach. Like, I did youth ministry. I don't understand any of this stuff." And I'll never forget what he told me. And he said, "Sally, they don't need you to teach them how to make better designs and videos and all of that. They need a leader. They need someone to teach them how to grow in their relationship with God, how to work as a team, what it means to serve God in a ministry role while still fostering the gifts and the talents that God's given us." And he said, "We just need you to coach the team." And so I said yes and stepped into that. And here I am 8 years later, Reuben, you know this, working with people, amazing creatives like you, and loving it. I love it. I love every minute of it. I'm so different than you guys. You guys are way smarter than me and more talented. So I love just being a part of it. And kind of my little part, I feel like, is just gathering the team and putting the right people and resources together to try to create something really cool for the glory of God.
Yeah. It's so interesting. You're not smarter than us. We like directors and project managers because they do the thinking for us. We just get to push pixels around. But
and I like people like you guys because you push. You
But it's interesting because so many people we've spoken to on this podcast, this is our third episode, but we've recorded about 9 at the making of this one, have all started in not in creative ministry pretty much. Like they've all either been in like youth ministry, student ministry, kids ministry, like Ron last week's talking about kids ministry. And then Jacob Salguero, who's going to be further down the line, started in youth ministry. And all of these, I'm dropping lots of hints here. All of these people have started out in these different ministries. And I think it's so interesting that quite often when we're called to the creative, you know, part of church, quite often it's not even to do with our creative skill set. It's to do with everything else. It's to do with whether we're passionate about it, whether there's a heart of servantship or whether there's, you know, like just that you're wanting to lead. And the creativity flows out of that quite often, but quite often it's just a heart posture and a position of like, I need to step into the role because I'm the right person for this. Like you said, even if you don't know the ins and outs of creativity. So Sally, a couple of questions for you. These aren't on the list, but I feel like this is a good time to ask them. Why stick with communications now? So 8 years in, or 7 years in, why stick with that now? Like why, you know, you jumped from kids to students to, or, you know, students to athletic and whatever. You've kind of gone between different places. Why have you kind of stayed in communication? Is it something you enjoy or is it just something you've really found a niche? Or is God still calling you here? Like what's still keeping you here? And then also what translates, sorry, I just want to ask this question. What translates between like coaching basketball and coaching sports and coaching creatives?
That's, I'm going to start with that, Reuben, because I think that's a theme line through my life is, you know, when I say I was a college basketball coach, people often say, oh, did you play in college? You must have been good. I was terrible at basketball. Like that is not me being humble. That is being honest truth, not one college in the entire country recruited me, not one. And so how did I become a college basketball coach? Because I loved it and had a passion for it. And coaching was my way to stay in the game and impact. And so I think what it taught me was, man, I have to have really good players to be a good coach. And so I think it's the same in communications. I don't know how to make graphics. I don't know how to use presets in Lightroom, and I don't know how to color grade and do After Effects and all this stuff, but I still get to be a part of this. And my part, I get to coach people and go, man, you are so awesome at this. Like God called you to this. He gave you these gifts. And so for me, I think communications in the creative world is, I think I like it because it's not my skill set. So I can't get it. It allows me to do what I'm good at, which is maybe the leadership side, not necessarily the skill side. And so I'm not getting in having to micromanage everything, but I'm getting people who get to use their gifts. And then they, because they're so good at what they do, they allow me to use my gifts. And then I really think that's kind of how the kingdom of God is supposed to work. And so for me, honestly, Reuben, it's not even that I feel so called to communications. I think that my life and my journey, I mean, it doesn't make any sense if you look at it on paper. And if I was to sketch this out 10 years ago, it wouldn't have looked anything like this. I think what's more important to me or the theme that I would kind of just keep saying yes to God. And I think that's all I've tried to do. Even when I left our church in New York, I had no plans of looking for another church to go run comms. I think it was, just kind of saying, God, I'll go wherever, God, I'll, whatever opportunities you give me, wherever you can use me, I'm just grateful that you still let me be in the game and you still let me be a part of this. And so, yeah, I think it's just, it's a continuous yes to whatever, you know, if tomorrow they came and said, hey, we don't want you to do comms anymore. We need you to lead, the worship team, the kids team, whatever it is. Like, I'm like, okay, I don't know how to sing, but God, if this is what you're calling me to, then my answer is yes.
Yeah. That's so. That I think that's such a good attitude, but I think so often, especially creatives, we get so stuck in that, you know, holding on to what you know and holding on to what's comfortable. And there's I imagine you know this, there's so much discomfort in just saying yes, because you have it's such a big faith step of saying, well, I don't know how the finances are going to work out. I don't know how the travel plans are going to work out. I don't know where I'm going to live, which I'm sure was questioned for you at various points. But the yes comes first. And so if you're someone who's in a position of leadership at your church right now, and you're like, or even if, you know, there's an opportunity to be in leadership, then why not consider yes before no, and put discomfort over comfort and think about, you know, maybe this is God calling you into something bigger than you can imagine. Maybe it's the picture that you can't see yet.
And
as Sally's talking, you can kind of see this picture being drawn behind her as she goes. But like you said, you often don't know until you look at it in reverse, right? So you've got this amazing worship team leading people into the presence of God every week. But you're thinking, how can I make this even more impactful? That's where Remix Church Media's motion videos come in. These videos add that extra element to your services, making it visually dynamic and super engaging. Head to the links in the description to check out Remix Church Media's new motion videos. Now, back to the episode. There's so much to be said about coming in almost not being a creative and learning that environment. How do you, you know, there's creatives, I think there's a book called Herding Tigers or something like that. I can't remember what it is. Someone's going to scream while listening to the podcast because they know the name. But the idea is basically the creatives are their own breed of person. They're very wild and quite hard to tame because they're very emotion-based. How do you, coming into this environment, how do you balance overseeing a team and kind of and coaching a team, but also letting them have creative autonomy to the point where they're not feeling stifled in what they do and they produce the best that they can? Have you found the recipe for that yet, or are you still working on that? I mean, I think you've found
it. I'm still looking for that. I'm gonna can I put that in ChatGPT? I mean, that is the question, Ruben. That is the, and I think, first of all, something that I think I've learned, and I don't know if I would have said this maybe even 5 or 6 years ago, but we're all creatives to an extent because we are made in the image of God, who is the ultimate creator, the ultimate creative, and we can be creative because he was creative in creating us.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something that I've tried to, and I think I've learned this through lots of failures, is just people are people. They're made in God's image. And whether you're a creative, a administrator, a type 3, a type 7, all these different things, is people are people, and we have emotions and we have feelings and we have wants and we have needs. And so I think when we can look at it from that picture and not get so stuck on, he's a creative, he's not a creative, so I'm going to lead him differently than him. Mm-hmm. It's more of just like, let me lead people the way that God wired them for who they are. And I think, you know, how do you balance those two? I think it's a dance that always, you know, and it's just, it's an ever going give and take. But I think you have to lead with vision, and you have to go, okay, hey, these are the goalposts, our team, our church, our organization, our company, whatever it is you're a part of as a leader, a creative, whatever. You go, hey, this is the goalpost. This is the vision where we're going. This is the ultimate outcome. This is the ultimate problem we're solving. Then we can backtrack and figure out how to do that. And so along the way, we're going to have to maybe put some processes in, or we're going to have to, man, that's an awesome graphic you made, but that doesn't fit the vision. The vision was to reach a new person that, you know, so your graphic that's like super with blood of the cross and angels and demons, like, my random person, I just friend Joe I met at Starbucks is like, whoa, you guys are super weird. You know, so helping creatives and graphic designers and video people and writers and whoever you're dealing with understand and go, hey, that's the goal. That's the target we're trying to hit. It's not about, you know, your skill set as a designer, but it's about hitting that target. And so as the leader of that, I've got to make sure that I'm constantly putting that vision in front. This is what we're accomplishing. This is what you and I, Ruben, are working on a project right now. I was in Asana. I saw what you sent me, and it's about, and I had a thought about it. It's a graphic about our online community. And I was thinking, okay, the target is online people. So what you made was awesome, but my feedback was, hey, let's contextualize this for online. So it's not that your graphic wasn't good. It's the target audience is different than what we designed for. So I think that's just huge. And I think maybe you, Ruben, as a creative, how do you balance, like, what is something that makes you, how do you walk that line? I think that's the other side of the coin too.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I have not many people have flipped the question back on me on this podcast yet. So it's interesting.
You're welcome.
I didn't have time to prepare, but no, it's fine. I think it's a, you're right when you talk about people, because a lot of this is about building a relationship with the people you work with in such a way that you understand how they communicate. So Sally, I know you're a straight shooter. You're not going to, there's no frills about what you say, because you just want to get to the point. You need to be direct. You don't have time to beat around the bush. And what's cool about that,
I like
that
you say that's a positive thing.
No, it is, because it makes everything, it makes the whole process more efficient. But I have to know that if you came to me with feedback on the thing we just talked about, if I didn't know how you behaved or I didn't know how you acted, you know, not saying it did, but it could offend me, or it could come across as,
that's right. Yep. Absolutely.
It could come across as, oh, that's a, you know, that's, that hasn't taken into context how hard I worked on this project or whatever. But that's the thing, is that because I know you and I know how you operate and we've built a relationship, that makes things a lot easier when it comes to us communicating, because I know when you say that, that's what you mean and that's what you don't mean, which takes the pressure off me. And I think that's one thing that every creative can do, is not wait for their leader to build a relationship with them, but for them to build a relationship with their leader. Because if there's this separation between the leader and the creative, or whatever the department may be, there's this sort of mysticism and this gray area, basically. And when the gray area comes, that's when confusion comes, that's when bitterness seeps in, that's when all of these things happen, because there's no clear communication, there's no clear train of thought, there's no, you know. And I think a lot of what you do, Sally, is just implement systems, and you work out the most efficient way to implement systems and to help people walk through different things. And, you know, it's definitely a journey, and we're going to talk about the transition and working in churches in transition in a second. But if you as a creative can focus on, how do I make sure my leader feels supported? How do I get to know them? How do I understand how they operate? And as a leader, if you can think, how can I support my team? How can I focus on how they operate? And each person's different. Each person has a different emotional attachment to their work. Some people, don't care much about it. Some people really are invested in it. So it is very much, I think, a people-based thing. And I think you're right. But that kind of leads me to this next question, because your life, we talked about this in the pre-show, your life has been very movement-based, very, I want to say nomadic, but not, it's not the transient almost, where you kind of go from place to place. And that means you're meeting lots of different people in lots of different environments, in lots of different communities. How do you just kind of, when the church, we can kind of give some context, as you, if both Times Square Church and Saddleback have been in a season of transition at times, you've gone there, and that's part of the reason you've gone there, to assist with that.
Yeah.
How do you come into a brand new environment with maybe 2 or 3 years experience of a different church with a different team with different objectives, and go, okay, I'm now going to apply all the skills that I have here again and not tread on people's toes and, you know, not, you know, start off as you mean to go on, if that makes sense?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I wish I had the answer before both of these places. And, you know, I've probably done it wrong more times than I've done it right. But I hope that in the process of all these changes that I've gone through, I hope I've taken a little bit of nugget at each time and tried to apply it. And yeah, I mean, I was in a senior pastor transition at Times Square Church, another senior pastor transition here at Saddleback. And I think the most important thing, anytime you step into, I mean, we all go through seasons of change in our lives, our families, our work, schools, whatever situation, it's taking a step back and just pausing and learning before we come in with our ideas and why are we doing it like this? And it's going, it's leading with a posture of curiosity, asking questions rather than statements. And you begin to build that relational equity as you do that. And so for me, coming into Times Square Church and Saddleback to Church, Times Square Church, I knew our senior pastor very well. I went there with him. So I think I was able to move a little more quickly because I knew why he wanted me there. I knew what he was asking me to do. It was when I came to Saddleback, this was my first time being around Andy and Stacy and learning them. So, you know, over the last year, I've tried to ask a lot of questions. I noticed their patterns. Even I'm watching the way that they're communicating. Okay, they said that about that, so I can take that and apply it to this here. So trying to learn a lot about where they're going and try to lead up well and try to, when I hear things or learn things, disseminate that information to the people around me, knowing like, hey, I'm helping with this. And I think change is hard. Change is just very, very hard. So it's always walking a fine line. But I do think that we do serve a God who is in the business of change. And I think often we get confused, like God never changes, but God is a God of new. I mean, think about it, Reuben. He wrote the New Testament. He says you can't put old wine in new wineskins. He gives us a new covenant. The Bible says that we are made new in Christ Jesus. So he's not new. He's not changing. But I think he wants us to change, and he wants us. So every time I'm going through these changes personally, God is doing work in me. And so I think when I allow that to happen, then I can be a leader of change. Then I can help other people walk through that. And for me, it's walking through it with humility that I don't know the answer. Like, there's a verse in Matthew, someone could probably correct me on this, but it's the Bible says that there's treasure in the old and there's treasure in the new. So anytime you're walking through a season of change, it's not coming in going, everything in the past is bad. What new? This is what we need to do. But it's also walking the line and helping people who've been there understand, hey, everything in the old, it doesn't mean it needs to go into the new. So there's some parts in the old that we're going to bring, but there's also going to be some new way of doing things. And obviously within my own team, when I got here, it's spending a lot of time in my first few months. It's building relationships, meeting with everybody, understanding their hearing. When you find out somebody's journey, when you hear their story, you're able to minister to them differently. You're able to, like you just mentioned, we're all going to look at things differently. But when I know somebody's journey, I'm able to, maybe I speak differently to them. Maybe it's before I announce a big change, it's pulling them in privately and just going, hey, before I tell the whole team this, I want you to know this because I know this was your baby. You started this and I'm so grateful for the way that God used you in this, but we are going to change this. But it's giving them a chance. It doesn't mean that you're telling that you have to be very secure in what you're doing, that if God is asking you to make these changes as the leader, hey, I'm very confident that, but I want to be sensitive and let them know this is not a knock on you, and giving them extra time to process it. You never want a big group of people to all process information at one time. I've sat around, you know, when I came here at Saddleback, about 3 or 4 months in, we made a big change within a structure of our comms team. And I met with almost every person individually before we made the big announcement, just so that they could start that process. Because when you sit around a table with a group of people and you're just announcing a change that they've it's everybody's asking questions and they're feeling insecure or whatever. So I would much rather do that in a one-on-one setting before I bring everybody together. And that's just like a little practical thing that I found useful because I've done it wrong a lot of times. And then you make a big change. Everyone's like, what about this? What about this? And then it gets kind of, but when you have that one-on-one, it's a lot of work. Don't get me wrong, but man, that is going to carry you for so much further.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
Yeah, that's just a little bit on change.
it's really good. So I think there's probably a few people watching or listening, however they're digesting this content that are probably walking through this season right now, whether they're a new hire, whether that's just a staff member, a creative staff member, or whether that's a, you know, in a position of leadership, or maybe they're navigating a church in transition. Maybe they're at the same church, but now there's a new pastor coming in who's wants to trying to tweak the vision slightly. So what, you know, what would be some practical things on top of what you've just said to help those people kind of like get up to speed as quickly as possible and build good relationships with their staff?
Yeah, I think practically, Ruben, I mean, the number one thing is your first few months, 6 months are going to be crazy, and you have to just commit to the crazy, commit to working extra hours, commit to those relationship buildings, commit to every single week, you know, hey, I'm going to take this person to lunch. I'm going to have coffee with this person. I'm going to schedule the meetings, and it's going to take a long time, and you're going to want to get to the work because you're going to think the work is like, oh man, if I do this awesome work, everyone's going to respect me. They're not. But when you build relationships with them and they know, oh wow, they care about me, then 6 months down the road, when you make those hard decisions, then those are going to be a lot easier. So to me, that's the most important thing. And then I think, or that's the most important practical thing. But before any of that, the most important thing, in Luke 6, before Jesus picks his disciples, the Bible says he went out to a mountain to pray and he sought God. When he, that's the first thing. Then when he came down from the mountain, then he picked his disciples. Then the last thing is later that afternoon, they went out and did ministry. They started healing people. They started curing diseases. But before any of those changes that you're going to want to make as the leader, the restructure, the switching project management tools, switching the way we deliver asset, whatever, you have to seek God first. It's communion with God first. Then it's within your community here. Then you can go out and do your communication or your creative or whatever. But it's because if you try to make these changes without seeking God and getting his opinion first, then this is going to be in your power. And so when people don't like the changes, because they're not going to like them, you're going to be wanting to get a validation from the people instead of from God. And it's that does not end well. That does not end well. So I think that's probably the most, is before you make changes, make sure that you're seeking the heart of God and doing what he's asking you to do, not what you read about in the latest book, or whatever. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's just some couple of little things that I found. And again, done it more times wrong than not, but just learn from my failures.
Exactly. Well, that's how you learn is,
that's
and I
right.
think you have such a unique perspective because you've not only navigated this once, but twice. And you've also navigated leading teams at three different churches in three different, entirely different parts of the country. So it's very invaluable insight into kind of just how creatives as a general function and then how to navigate those things. So it's been super helpful. And I think just to tag on to the back of what you said, the disconnect between God and decision-making is when vision, like it that's the disconnect, right? That's when your vision becomes skewed and you move in a different direction. So even when you're talking earlier about like bringing the vision in and understanding the vision, like if you're not connected to God with that, like how can you know which direction he wants to pull you in?
That's right.
And then you're just going to bring your whole team in the wrong direction.
Right.
Which means you've created more mess there than you,
yes.
It would have been better if you'd not been there at all. Exactly.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
No, it's a great thoughts and we really appreciate your time, Sally. And, hopefully to the listener, I know they would have got some really good nuggets of wisdom from this. So, is there anything final you want to share, Sally, or maybe just even let us know how we can connect with you kind of after this podcast? If people have questions or want to know more about you, how can they find out?
Yeah, no, Ruben, thank you for doing this. Thank you for this podcast. Thank you for what you and so many others contribute to this creative world. And I think that would be the only last thing I would share is that don't try to do this alone. Whoever you are listening to this, whether you're a leader, designer, just getting started, been in it for 30 years, you need a community of people around you and resources like this podcast. And there's so many churches. Everything I've learned that good about church communications, I've learned from somebody else by just picking up the phone and going, hey, you know, when I came to Saddleback, I called leaders from Life Church and Elevation Church because I'm going, they're a large church like Saddleback. How did they do this? And they've been so kind and gracious to me. And so I would just encourage people, pick up the phone. People want to help. And if you're in a position to help, when someone calls you and asks for help, give it to them. Share your resources, share your podcast, your graphics, whatever. We're all in this together, just trying to lead people to Jesus. And so, man, if I'm so grateful for people who've helped me. So if I can ever help anybody with anything and someone wants to learn from my mistakes, I would love, you know, love to visit with you and help in any way I can, or connect you to people that I think can help you. And we're just in this together, and it's an honor, it's a privilege to be able to do this with you, Ruben, and so many other people.
So how practically could someone connect with you? Is it Instagram, email? What's the best way?
Yeah, Instagram. I'm sure we can put this in the show notes, but it's just my Instagram handle is my name. Send me a DM. That's probably the best way, the quickest way. And then I can get you, we can connect through email or phone, or some, if someone knows you, Ruben, they can reach out to you. You can connect them with me. Yeah, glad to help anybody.
Well, Sally, thank you so much again for being on the podcast. If you guys have enjoyed this, please share it with someone. Maybe there's a person, you know, that's in a transition season right now. Share it with them. Let them know, there's people out there that are going through the same thing, and there's people that have gone through it and they have some really good advice as well, like Sally. So thank you so much again, Sally. And if you're listening on Apple Music or Spotify, please give us a thumbs up, a like, and maybe a review as well, just to help this go further. And if you're on YouTube as well, maybe give us a thumbs up and leave a comment. It just helps us get into the algorithm, which helps reach more creatives. So thank you so much again for listening, and we'll see you guys next week. Thank you.